Okay, shukai everybody for coming. It's a big chizuk. Especially right before Yantiv. I know this year was postponed. Well, it's supposed to be the first year in this series, but it was snowed out. So now it's the last one. It's a little bit of a saif maisev machshava tchila type of a shir. Sometimes it's more difficult because when you're preparing for a shir on the day you're supposed to give it, so then everything is fresh. Now this is already 3 weeks later, and I have to get myself back into the sugya, so it was much more difficult this time around than the first time around, but let's hope, Mitzvah Hashem, that Shematzeach and everything should be clear and amistic. So we said we would discuss the Inyan of Mechiras Chametz. The Pnimius of Mechiras Chametz. So one of the things we're going to have to understand about Mechiras Chametz is the Ha'ara, which the Mefarshim speak about, not just the Mefarshim, I mean the Poskim speak about, is that, does this sale not seem like an outright Harama? Harama, that's the word which is used. Harama means it seems like it's a trick. Right? We're coming into this saying, here I'm selling you the Chametz, and a week later you're going to be getting it back. It's self-understood that he's not going to be spending millions of dollars to buy your stale Cheerios. You know, it's pashut. So what's the nature of this kinyan b'chlal? Why did it evolve? The whole inyan of Mechiras Chametz is more of a recent thing. Rav Zevin in Mo'ad HaMahalach, he goes through the whole history of the evolution of Mechiras Chametz. It was not something which was practiced in earlier generations, especially by way of a Rav, that a Rav would sell the community Chametz. It was unheard of, such a thing. Chassam Sofer comes and he quiets all the questions that the Poskim have, and he says, anybody who's Mahar about this, he says, get out of here, you know what you're talking about. And he was the one who really laid down the law and said, Mechiras Chametz is a valid way to get rid of your Chametz Ad Kan. It was a very bold move on his part, and just the way that it was evolving, because the Ritva in Pesach and Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph says that if you go ahead and you sell your Chametz to a Goy, on a regular basis, there will be a knas the Chachamim will give you. So from even the days of the Rishonim, there was something which was really frowned upon and not even allowed. So before we get into the pnimius, that anything which is accepted in Klal Yisrael is considered to be holy, comes from a very high place. There's nothing which is stronger than when Klal Yisrael is mekabel and inyan, mekabel and minhag, that testifies in and of itself that it comes from a very high place. So if we do Mechiras Chametz, that must mean that there's something about Mechiras Chametz which we could say about it that, oh, this is the ideal way to dispose of your Chametz. So let's get to the root first, halachic root, of Mechiras Chametz. It comes from a Tosefta. That's the top marmakim here on page 1. And it's a very interesting matzav. Yisrael v'goy shahayu boim b'svina. If a goy and a yid were coming on a boat, v'chametz b'yad Yisrael, and the yid has Chametz, so what is he going to do with it? I don't think that means that he has chametz in his hands, otherwise he could just throw it overboard. Right? Unless it means that he has a lot of chametz, or perhaps it means that he has chametz at home, and he needs to sell it. He can sell it to the guy, or he can give it to him as a gift. And then go ahead and then to buy it back or take it back after Pesach. As long as you give it completely over to the guy, and some even have a girsa here in the Tosefta, uvilvad shel yarim, and as long as you don't do it as a harama. Now, what does that mean, uvilvad shel yarim? The Beis Yosef talks about this, the Mefarshim, what does uvilvad shel yarim? Of course, you can't make any haramas, it wouldn't be a halachic sale. So before we get into understanding the nature of this kinyan, as we go into the pnimius of the matter, so we do have in our Torah, Hakdaisha, a few instances of sales which took place between good and evil. And one of those, most famously, is the sale of the Bechor between Yaakov and Esav. Now, there are a few questions regarding the sale of Yaakov and Esav which need to be addressed. The first question, which is somewhat of an obvious question, is that here Yaakov is buying the Bechora from Esav. Now, what seems to be the biggest halachic challenge about buying the Bechora?
Can you sell it?
Huh? Can you sell the Bechora? Meaning, if you are inherently a Bechor, right, can you sell the fact that you're a firstborn to somebody else?
Or selling your Kohanis.
Can you sell your kahuna? How could you sell your kahuna? Imagine going to a kohen and say, I'll buy your kahuna. You can't buy the kahuna off a kohen. So how can you buy the rights to the firstborn? In fact, the rights to the firstborn was essentially that. It was the right, Rashi says, to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Bechor, we knew before that it was taken away from him, because of a certain inyanim, that, Echita Eagle, primarily, it was supposed to be at the hands of the Bechor. That's first and foremost. There's another question which is addressed here by the Rishonim, is that there's something else halachically problematic about buying the Bechor. And that is that it's something which is what's called a Dover Shalobala Olam. It doesn't exist. It didn't exist yet. Because we said that the rights of the Bechorah meant to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. There were halachic rights which came along with the Bechorah. And that's what Yaakov was interested in. How can you sell such a thing? Isn't that not something which the Gemara says in Baba Basra, even when, in terms of Yerusha, which is a Dover Shalobala Olam, there's no kinyan on that. You can't make a sale on something which doesn't exist. So let's come to this first Ramakam here of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that he quotes two different shittas about in the Rishonim as to answers to this question. First, he quotes the Rush, and I don't have it here because it was a long Maramakom, but the Rush answers this question as follows. The Rush says that if you take a look in the Psukim, Yaakov made Esav take a Shvua that he would sell it to him. And this is what the Rush holds. The Rush holds that which we say, that it's not shaykh to make a kinyan on a dovar, shalo bala olam, which doesn't exist in this world, that's only because it's lacking a smichas das. You're lacking a certain sincerity in trying to buy something which doesn't yet exist. However, he says, when you take a shvua, you see from here that if you make a shvua on a dovar, which is shalo bala olam, because a shvua shows that you're really sincere, then the kinyan can be chal. And that's why Yaakov makes Esav make him swear on the selling of the Bechora in order to halachically be kone the Bechora from Esav. That's the Chiddush of the Rosh. The Chiddush of the Rosh. Now the Rivash argues, and that's what the Or HaChaim picks up here. He says, Shuv bal yadi sefer ha-Rivash, and I apologize that some of the side lines was cut off. He says, Vazel l'shono, kasavta, he says, he's writing back to the one who questioned him, Shirayas, the Reb and Harash Shakazbashim Avid the Makna Dava Shalobala Olam im Nishbakana. That which you are quoting to me Bashem the Rosh, that you saw, that you could be Kona Adava Shalobala Olam if you take a shvu upon it. And he says, Virayaso, and the Raya of the Rosh comes from the selling of the Bechorah from Yaakov to Esav. She says, Tshuva, I answer you. He says, Lo Rosh Velo Reb bin Ochsim Yala. This does not exist. The Rosh never said this, and his son Rav Yehuda never said this. It's hard to say that because it was said, but he had never saw it, so he couldn't believe that it was said, but we have it documented. Don't start quoting things in the name of the great people of things which don't make any sense. And even the raya which he brings from Yaakov and Esav, also, it's lacking substance. You really want to know why this was Kona? He says it was because it was before Matan Torah. Who is to say that before the giving of Torah, it wasn't possible to be able to make a kinyan on that which didn't exist? That's the real reason. If you want to know why did he make him swear, that was only in order to add on to the fact so that Esav shouldn't come later and to say, because since he was a man of strength, that he shouldn't come in to say that it doesn't exist. Never happened, or big mavata the whole thing. So the machlokas between the Rosh and the Rivash as to the nature of the kinyan of buying the Bechor. We never think in these terms. Oh, we just look at it as a very nice maisa. Yaakov takes the Bechor. But the Rishon wants to know, how does this work? How does this work? So according to the Rosh, it works because there was a Shua. And according to the Rivash, it works because it was before he went mentor. Before mentor. But you see already over here something going on about this kinyan that is very fishy. Very fishy kinyan. How this whole thing is working. Now take a look at the Pardis Yosef, below that Maramakom, where he quotes the Mizrahi. That's the Re'em, Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi. So he says that the Re'em asked this question, which we noted before. Atu Kohen Yuchalim Chor Bechoroso? Can a Kohen sell his Bechoro? What's going on over here? V'kasav Shekavanas Yaakov Haya Levatlam In Ha'avodah Shalihi Arasha Omer Nerakalim Go Avodah Zara? That really, Yaakov just wanted to be Mevatl Esav from even having a Havamina to serve. There's a dot, dot, dot here going down. Vishelo, Yoimar, the Shilat, he shouldn't say, Sheba HaBachora Ba'akava Rak B'din Gomer. Now, the words that he's quoting from the Mizrahi are very susam. What that means? It sounds like it's saying that really Yaakov did not have to buy the Bechorah from Esav. The only reason why he did so is so that Esav, later on, shouldn't say, hey, by the way, the Bechorah belongs to me. But really, Yaakov did not need to buy the Bechorah from Esav. It really belonged to Yaakov all along. Now, how does that make sense? How does that make sense? So now, again, if we can justify the fact that Yaakov is the rightful owner of the Bechorah, then forget about the Rush, forget about the Rivash. Their whole question was based on the premise that Yaakov needed to buy this Bechor from Esav because Esav is a legit Bechor. Now, if you can prove and you can say that somehow, some way, Esav was not the Bechor, really Yaakov is the Bechor, so then the whole Kenyan is not a Kenyan at all. It was only in order to protect the fact that Yaakov is the Bechor, so that if people would look at this scenario and say, hey, how is Yaakov the Bechor? It doesn't make any sense. Oh, by the way, there was a Kenyan. That's just for show. But really, Yaakov is essentially the Bechor. How does that work? So now take a look at the Chavetzelas HaSharon, who's quoting many different Pirushim. As we move to the left, take a look actually first at the far left, V'hinei B'hadar Zakenim. The Hadar Zakenim al Torah, which is on the Rishonim, I believe, he answers as follows. The Be'emes Yaakov Hayu Bechor Me'ikar Hadin. Oh, so we're getting somewhere now. Really, Yaakov is the Bechor. How so? So listen to this. Ki beiz tipos yenechnasos b'shoferes, because if you take two drops and you put them into a very thin flask, the only way for it to come out is to pour it on its head. So who's going to come out first? The last one is going to come out first. Nimsa, the cave, and Yaakov yatsa sheinis, that since Yaakov came out first, and Esav really was the one who came out, since Yaakov came out second, Nimsa shehu reishis ono shel Yitzchak, but that means that he's the first tipa from Yitzchak. That means that really, Yaakov is essentially the Bechor. V'chol ma'isim mechiras ha-Bechor lo ha-mikir adin. So really, there was no need to make an actual Kenyan. So why did he do so? Adla leva ya'ar Esav al-Bechor, because many people won't get that, especially Esav won't get that, he won't buy that. So he needed to do so that Esav shouldn't have any tainas. U'v'peirushi ha-tor leval yatoz kasav kanal. Even Tosus writes this. V'hosif de ma'isa ha-mechira ha-yarak liknos shem Bechor. So lambda should think. It was only to be kind of the shame Bechor. Everybody should say Yaakov is the Bechor. But essentially Yaakov is the Bechor. That's how physics works. Because you have twins. So really, the first one who comes out is the last one to be made. Now, do we pass it like that? No, we don't pass it like that. However, over here, as you move on to the right, he quotes from the Gra, who says this Chiddush in Parsis Kiseitze, that the Pasuk speaks about the Ben Ha'ahuva and the Ben Ha'snuva. And the girl learns those psukim as if to say, this chiddush, that the one who comes out second is really the rightful Bechor. But then he quotes here on the bottom, he quotes from the Darish Letzion, if you take a look at the second paragraph, and he's quoting the Sholom Meshiv, that they write, Devadi Azlinam Basar Leda, that halachically we follow the Leda, that if you were to have twin boys who came out, then the rightful halachic Bechor would be the one who came out first. Right? And he says, V'raila said to Laho Yaakov Esav hayu beis tumim ve'esav yatzarishan v'hayu b'chor. Right? That they don't take this Hadar Zakenim seriously or the Gra seriously, and they say, you see from the fact that Yaakov needed to buy the b'chor from Esav, the Esav is a b'chor. So we see halachically the poskim accept the fact, d'lo azlin ach yitzira, we don't follow who was created first, the paskin, the b'chorah, ela achar leida, who comes out first. We see the opposite, that really Yaakov was the Bechor, and Esav came out first, he was really created second. So you see that there's machlokas in the poskim, in the mefarshim, that when twins come out, who's Alach Bechor? Do you follow the Yitzira? Do you follow the Leda? Mixed for Nafkamina. Did Yaakov actually have to be Kohen of the Bechor, like the Rush and the Rivash understand? Or like Tosas is suggesting? And like the Hadar Zakenim is suggesting, that really, no, Yaakov is the Bechor. Which would explain, by the way, why Yaakov is grabbing onto the leg of Esav. He's saying, why are you coming out first? You're not the rightful Bechor. I'm the rightful Bechor. It's not that it was a race between Yaakov and Esav who could come out first. Esav was clearly coming out first because he was on top. If he was created second, he's going to be the one to come out first. So why was Yaakov pulling onto his leg? The answer is this, because Yaakov was trying to point out here, the thievery, that this is a lie. That don't think, if you had the rapper at Derech Eretz, you would acknowledge that I'm really the Bechor. You know what's going on in here. You know I was created first. But here you see that when it comes to the whole kinyan of the Bechorah, there's like a dark cloud which is hanging over this. What's going on over here? How can you sell the kahuna? How can you sell the Bechorah? How is this even halachically kosher a kinyan? Now we know that this mechira took place when? When did this mechira between Yaakov and Esav take place? Anybody?
After Yosef died.
After?
Yitzchak died.
Close, after Avram died.
Avram
died. Chazal tells us that Avram died in Erev Pesach. Pesach, Chodesh Nisan. That's the case. That means that the kinyan of the Bechorah is taking place Pesach time. What's interesting is that when we speak about the essential nature of this Mechira, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi over here says, as the Pasuk says, Mechra chayom es Bechoras chali, sell to me like the day, this Bechorah. So Rashi says, Ki targumo kiyom de lahon, kiyom shehu barar, kach mechor li mechir brura, that this should be a very clear Mechira. That Yaakov wanted there should be no sfeikos about this, that it should be a 100% halachically kosher kinyan. And if you take a look at the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Mem Ches, which is right above this Ma'am Makom, about the nature of this kinyan, he writes very clearly and unequivocally, Oshim Kirenalo Mechira Gemura, that there needs to be a very clear kinyan when it comes to the acquisition of the chametz, which is being sold to the guy. Now, ad kedei kach, that I don't know if anybody's been present at the time that a rav sells chametz to the guy. However, you could see a video online of Rabbi Willie doing it from YU. Because we want that the mechira should be a mechira gemura, we do 6 or 7 different kinyanim with the guy. I don't know if all rabbanim do this, but this is the way it's brought down as a min in Yisrael. It's either 6 or 7 kinyanim. Which means, because each one has its own pickbook in halacha, why it may not work. Mm-hmm. Kesef we do, but there's a shayla in the kesef. We do shtar, we do agav, we do chatzer, we do handshake, we do 6 to 7 different kinyanim with the guy. Why? In order that it should be a mechira gemura. Mechira berura. And that's very important and necessary, because why? The whole nature of this mechira is one big harama. It's one giant harama. So we're very careful that when it comes to the actual kinyan, that the mechira should be a mechira gemur, we do 7 kinyanim. Now before we move on to explaining this a little bit more, if you take a look at the Ma'ar Mokom, which we jumped over momentarily, which is the Bechor Shor, which is one of the commentaries on Masachas Pesachim, he brings up this question about the nature of this kinyan, how it's a harama gemura, it's one big harama, and how the sale can actually be a halachic sale. How could it be? This is the answer which he gives. Take a look at the bracket. He says as follows, why is it, how could it be? We know that the Nachri does not care to have this. How could this possibly be a halachic kinyan? And he says, as follows, because you really want to know why this works, is because Meikar Adin, you don't need to sell chametz at all. All you need to do midoraisa is to say that I give up all care in all kinyan in all of my chametz. She call echem mevata belibo as chametz belev shalim. All you need to do halachli midoraisa is to say I have no connection to this chametz at all anymore. That you have to get rid of to be the chametz in the world. So he says, really, there's no need to sell this chametz at all. All you have to do is to say bottle.
Midaraisa.
But since midarabanan, you have to get rid of the actual chametz from your possession. So for that, the rabbanan allowed the harama because it's only nisa darabanan. Now this, actually, when you take a look at it, the structure of this is very similar to what we said before, quoting the Hadar Zakenim and the other Meforshim, that really, there are times where there's no real inyan at all in order to have to be, to make a kinyan. Over here, the chametz doesn't belong to you. Over there, Yaakov was already the Bechor. So why do you have to actually make a kinyan? You have to make a kinyan so that Esav shouldn't say anything. You should be cornered what's called the Shem Bechorah. And so too here by the Mechir. Really, there's no need to get rid of it at all. So why would they matter the Bechira? It's a harama. It's a harama, but that's okay. Because you're not really being somech on the kinyan anyways. And that's the same thing when it comes to the kinyan which took place between Yaakov and Esav. Really, there was no need for a kinyan. So you have lots of kashas about the kinyan. Can you sell a bechira? Is it davar shlavel olam? Okay, you have lots of kashas, but it doesn't matter. So who cares if it's a harama?
Is the bittul permanent or is it temporary?
No, your bittul is a real bittul for those 8 days of Pesach.
For those 8 days. Right?
Yeah, okay. And then afterwards, the Torah gives you permission to take it back. But the structure is mamish the same. The structure is that when it comes to circumstances where you don't need to have it, or it's already been done, it's taken care of already. So if there's a kinyan, but it's not really a real kinyan, so let there be a cloud around that kinyan. That's okay. Call it a harama. But you're not being soimech on the kinyan. Because already the bechor belongs to Yaakov. Because already the chametz doesn't belong to you.
So why we need to have 6 or 7 different kinyanim when we go and sell the chametz, the rabba sold?
Because it has to look like a good show. It has to look like a good show.
We know it's really not, like you said, like, deraisa, there's nothing. There's nothing there. It's not really like...
First of all, not everybody agrees with that, because according to some opinions, the Mechira is a good Mechira, and not all the Befarshim agree with this Mahalach of the Bechor Shor. There's a lot of Machlekes against the Bechor Shor. But we're just saying that at least this answer, the Bechor Shor, matches up with this answer of those Mefarshim. There's going to be other Mahalachim as well. We're going to get to maybe something else also in the back. But at least for our intents and purposes along this Mahalach, there's a way to understand Mechiras Chametz and the Harav Mechiras Chametz that we want it to look like a mechira as much as possible. Okay, but there's kashas on that. At the foundation of the whole mechira, there's problems with the foundations, but that's okay. That's okay, because in the truth, it's taken care of already. I thought it was interesting that if you take a look to the right from the Kobi's Tshuvos, which is Vol Yashuv, he quotes over here, he says, "Ulefi ha-halacha psukah b'shochan aruch simen tof nun alif, z'afilu kelim habluim harbi mechametz en alef shum chiv l'maychem." If you have kelim at home, which you've used for chametz, and have blios of chametz, there's no halachic requirement to have to sell the kelim themselves. Just put them away in a place, you could put tape on it and say, you know, chametz over there, as long as they're out of sight, you're not going to come to use them, that's all you need to do. You don't have to actually sell the kelim. This is a letter which he's writing, by the way, to his mechutin. Anybody know who Rabbi Yashu's mechutin was? Stipler. Yeah, he's a letter he writes to the Sifler and the Tshuvas, and he calls him the Mechutni HaGadol Tzadik Yisrael Olam of Yaakov Yisrael Kinevsky. And he says, Masha Kosov, and what you write, I'm not sure what the Chaf Gimel stands for, B'Shem Maran HaChazanish, which you quote in the name of your brother-in-law, the Chazanish, Shehinhig Limchor Loyes Guf HaKelim Eles HaBalua Shebekelim. So the Chazanish had some type of a Chiddush where he actually sold the blias of chametz. It's a tzarchian. Shem ma hu zaka klal b'kars habalua. Why are you selling? I don't understand. How do you and why are you selling the blios, the taste, which is in the kelim? You're selling to the guy. How could you do that? Gam tzarchian yuchal hamechir al timer. He says, v'lamosha. How could you something which has taste but has no essential is not essentially doesn't exist? Ki v'chora havi kedaver shem bo mamish. It's like selling nothing. It's like selling the air of your field. How could you sell something which doesn't exist? It's like you're selling air. So one mahalach would be to say that it's like what we find many times called chumer d'chametz. When it comes to chametz, we're more machmen things. But Rabbi Yashiv knew that also. That's just the pasha to answer.
Doesn't anyway the actual sale happen after we already done bittul on Erev Pesach? So anyway, we're selling something that doesn't exist, b'chlal.
Are you making the sale on something? No. There's things which you plan on selling, and that which you're being mevatel, are two different things. Meaning, you're being mevatel. Let's say in Erev Pesach, any chametz which you don't know about, right?
Right.
And then the chametz which you have, which you plan on burning, right?
That's not part of that.
Right. So you're saying the mechir which takes place on that day is not being chal on anything because everything which you didn't know about, anyways. Right, that's what the Bechor Shor is saying.
Oh, okay.
That's what the Bechor Shor is saying. So it could be that the reason why, I just thought it was an interesting correlation, that the Chazanish was selling blios, which are really like floating in thin air. which really doesn't exist. It's like a davar shelo bala olam, but he felt that it should be part of the kinyan which is taking place of this chametz. It seems very similar, therefore, to the kinyan which we talked about before, about the selling of the Bukhara. That's also davar shelo bala olam. But here you're selling it because it's part of the machia, it's part of the exchange of the Bukhara. That we still haven't yet laid down the essential connection between these two kinyanim, between the kinyan of the Bukhara and the machia of the chametz. But if you go back to the Mechira of the Bechira between Yaakov and Esav, and here you have that Yaakov is buying the Bechira from Esav in exchange of what? What is Yaakov giving to Esav in exchange of what? Soup and... What does the Torah say? Lechem. Lechem. So here it's Erev Pesach. Avram has just passed away. And Yaakov is looking forward to buying the Bechira from Esav. In exchange of what? Lechem v'nezid adasha. Lechem. Bechira's chametz. He's selling the chametz to Esav. And he's buying back the Bechira. Does it rightfully belong to him? Does it not? Is it a good Bechira? Machlek is bizeh. But this is a source of Bechira's chametz between Yaakov and Esav. I thought to say it works very nicely from this. All the mafreshim wondering, what is the root of the minhag of not eating kidneys on Pesach? According to this, it's very nice. Because it says he sold him lechem unizid adashim. And adashim is classic kidneys. So if you want to know halachically, there's only an isra and chametz. But minhag Yisrael is kidneys also. It's not even a darabanan. But because the minhag is going back to the shorish hadvarim, which is going back to Yaakov and Esav, which is lechem unizid adashim. Now let's speak about the maila of the mechira versus the bir chametz. Now what would be the maila? First of all, let's understand something here. That when we take a look at Yaakov and Esau and the mechira of the bechira, which came way by way of a mechira's chametz therefore was not just a way for Yaakov to get rid of his chametz. Right? It was an investment that he sold the chametz in order to be zeiche to the Bechira, to the rights of the Bechira. Which means to say that when you make a Mechira, let's say on Erev Pesach, if you take a look at it at its roots, the Mechira is not just a way for you to get rid of your chametz. Something is coming to you, you're benefiting from that Mechira because you're now receiving something from the other side. Now how are you benefiting? Had you just thrown that food into the garbage and there would be nothing. But he's benefiting now because he's making a Mechira. Now, where else do we find throughout the year that we actually give over something to somebody like Esav? That we do something like that. And it's a toelis for us, and it's good for us. What? The Asir La'azazel. On Yom Kippur. It's very interesting. We have two korbanos, quote-unquote, which we bring on Yom Kippur. And one is L'Hashem, and the other one is Asir La'azazel. Now, what's the nature of the Asir La'azazel? You take this sayer, you take it into the midbar, you throw it off a cliff. Right? And that brings kapara for Bnei Yisrael. What's the purpose of that? What's the secret behind that? So the Ramban speaks about this secret. Take a look at the Ramban on the bottom here. The Ramban writes over here. If you go down, if you start from the, let's say, fifth line from the bottom of the Ramban, V'hini Atayra. He says, V'hini Atayra, Asra Lagam Kabbalah Salahusim Cholavad Lahem. Says we know that we don't bring any korbanos to the dark side. So what's going on with this lazazel? We actually take the Sir Lazazel and we send it to a certain angel who's in charge of korban. This is the malach which is in charge of all terrible things. The haklal nefesh the galgal madam. It has to do with this galgal, planet or this mazel, which has to do with madim. The chelko min ha'umos hu esav. He says that what you're doing, without getting into all the different languages, obviously something very deep is going on over here in the Ramban. He's saying that what you're doing is that you're taking this lazazel and you're giving it to Esav. We know that these two seiris, one is Yaakov, one is Esav. They looked identical, Chazal tell us. Like Yaakov and Esav are identical. So the one which is Lashem is Bechinas Yaakov. The one which is thrown off the cliff, that's Lazazel, that goes to Esav. Now what do you get from that? So what you get from that is that you appease your enemy so that he doesn't say anything on the Yom Kippur. We know the Gemara tells the Nedarim that there's that Hasatan is Gematria 364. Why not 365? Because there's one day of the year that the Satan can't say anything, and that's Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur. And that happens by way of the Sir Lazazel. What you do is like you bribe your enemy. You say, listen, you know, it's like your children that they're hacking you and trying to kick you, so what do you do? So you give them a lolly, you give them a toy, and you say, here, take this. And you totally distract them, and then they're quiet, and now you can go ahead and do what you need to do. That's what happened to Yom Kippur. You have this crying baby called Esav, and he's whining and crying about how can you do this for Bnei Yisrael? It doesn't make sense, Al Pidin, how could you do that? So, but what about your Rachmanis? Okay, your Rachmanis is very nice. What about me, the Sadin? Say, here's a lolly, and go away. That's really what the Sir Lazazel is.
And Yaakov does it again with Esav later on, right? He gives him...
Where?
When they're meeting up again.
Yes, that's also Lazazel. That's what the Mefarshim say there again too. Yeah. Mincha Hishlucha L'Esav, that's right. So you're maviach from that, and that you silence the accusations about it's not fair. And that's what the Ramban writes at the beginning of this piece. Before we see that, let's see the Zohar HaKadosh here. The Zohar says, "Kegav nadad Yisrael b'yomet ha-kipure." This is what happens in Yom Kippur. "Diyavi le-sayir." You give a seir la-azazel. "V'esasigu ba'adei ad ishadar evelohu." "V'esolik v'sayit sadu sakami kuchabichu." He says, "V'esasigu ba'adei," and he deals with it. Until he himself also becomes like an Evet Hashem. And he goes up and he bears testimony. And he becomes the defender of the Jewish people. Which means to say that by giving the Sir Lazazel, what you do is you actually silence the accuser and you turn him into your defendant. And he speaks on your behalf. And what does he say? Valda Omar Shlomo Imra'ev Sonacha Hachileu Lechem. If your enemy hates you, give him some bread. And that's mamish exactly what happens in the case of Yaakov and Esav selling the Bechor. So if I ask you, how is it that Yaakov is marviach, that Yaakov benefits by giving the lechem to Esav? He silences Esav, not just that he silences him, it turns out that when you give lechem to your accuser, he will speak in your defense. And that's what happens. That's what happens in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day that we reveal the Bechira that Yaakov has. It's the manifestation of the fact that Yaakov was chosen by Yitzhak, and we are the Am HaNivchar. And we follow suit the Yaakov Avinu. Because if you're just to dispose of your chametz, therefore, Abay Sai, if you're just to dispose of your chametz, you're not going to get anything out of that. But you want that Esav should be molded to you, that he should say that this rightfully belongs to you. Take a look at the Ramban. He uses such a lesson in quoting a Medrash. The first time the Ramban, he says, V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Shomei Eduzin Shal Yisrael Min HaKategor. Min HaKategor. That the accuser will be on your side. That's the benefit of Mechiras Chametz, because when you do that, you're Mekayim Mamish Imroiv Sonacha. If your enemy is hungry, Hachilehu Lechem. Give him Lechem, everything will be good for you. It goes very nice. We over here a quote from the Pardes Yosef. I just mentioned it on the side. The Pardes Yosef wants to touch the Pasuk. It says as follows. What does Yaakov say to Esav? Mechra chayom es pacharas chalif. Like we said before, Rashi said, according to Targum, Mechra chayom means give me a sail which is as clear as day. The Pardes Yosef says, Mechra chayom, there's one day of the year which is called Yom. What day is that? Yom Kippur. It's called Yuma. It's called the day. Yom Echad B'Shana, Chazal say. This is what Yaakov was telling Esav. He was saying as follows, Mechra Chayom, I want that this sale between you and me right now should be like Yom Kippur, the lesser Rishos Lassun, that you should have no accusations to get me on it. So you see that the sale which Yaakov took place between Yaakov and Esav was on the level of Yom Kippurim, like a Sir La'azazel, so that Esav not only shouldn't say anything, but he should also come to the defense of Yaakov about that sale. I thought just to say also with the Rechem is that since according to the Rosh, that the whole validity of the sale was based on the fact that there was a shvua here, like we said before, and when there's a shvua, even a davar shelo bal olam can be chal, maybe that's why when we make the sale, we do sheva kinyonim. Because the sheva comes from the word shvua. Then in the same way that Yaakov was able to be mevare the sale through a shvua, we're mevare the sale of the chametz also with sheva kinyonim. Sheva keneged the shuv.
This is Tanis Bechorah. It's like Yom Kippur.
Yeah, you could say that. You say that. Let's move on now to a second answer. Flip the page, if I may, if you may.
You said before that we're selling the chametz to like it's an Indian of like Yom Kippur to appease Esav, and you know, but what's the connection to Pesach and that appeasement? Like if it's being done on Pesach, I mean, on Esav, and I understand from the Esav Yaakov is being taken place on Pesach, but is that connected to Yom Kippur somehow?
So that's what we brought in the Paradis Yosef. That the Paradis was saying that when Yaakov made that mechira to Esav, he said Michra Chayom, that it should be a mechira which is on the level of Yom Kippur. That there's a certain Ha'ar Yom Kippur which is taking place. But by the way, I mentioned also that Pesach is the kinyan of that Bechara, but it's not Nizgal until Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is where you see very clearly that the Bechara belongs to Yaakov. You dress up in white, and you're like Malachim. It becomes clear. It's not so clear in Rosh Hashanah who is the real Bechara. That's why there's a din in Rosh Hashanah that the Gaim speak up and they say, who's to say that? That's why there's a din. There's a din of Mishpat. But in Yom Kippur is the answer to the questions of Rosh Hashanah. And that's all, let's say, hidden on Pesach. Pesach, let's say, you can call it, that's the Kinyan, the Klai Yisrael, where we get the Bechira from the hands of Esav. And it's only revealed in Yom Kippur the fact that it wasn't actually a real Mechira. But that's where there's a Ha'ar already by Pesach that he says that it should be a Kinyan which is on the level of a Yom Kippur because we're going to rely on that Yom Kippur time. Now, if you flip the page, you have the Maral here. The Maral has a different answer to this question. He says, Ach Kasha, the Lo Shaykh Mechira B'davar Sha'im Bo Mamish. Right? Sound familiar? This is the Rush. So he gives the following answer. V'lo yipol alav akinyan, v'tzarech loymar, shahaya makna Esav gufo le'akov. Le'inyan ha-bechayra, v'lochkol schos ha-bechayra, havi kinyan o-kinyan. Very interesting mahalich. He says, really, there was no kinyan that Yaakov made on the actual bechayra, because it didn't exist. You know what existed? Esav existed. And since Esav was the owner of the Bechara, Yaakov actually took Esav, he was kona him as an eved. And because he owned Esav, the halacha is, Ashakana eved, kana rabbi. Yaakov owns Esav, now Yaakov owns the Bechara. It's actually very nice, because going back to the prophecy that Rivka received from Shame, I guess, where she was having this runaround in the womb and she wants to know what's going on, so she goes to Shame, says, don't worry. There's two in your the Rav Yavot Sa'ir. Rav Yavot Sa'ir. The big one will be an Evid to the young one. And that's Neskai Mamish. The Rav Yavot Sa'ir. That he became an Evid to him. If you take a look at Rashi, when Yaakov, when he comes in and he gets the Bechira first, and Esav comes in, and Esav says, wait, where's my Bracha? So Yitzhak says, I have nothing to give you. So Rashi wants to know, why doesn't he have anything to give him? So look how Rashi explains, according to Chazal, why it is that Yitzchak has nothing to give him. He says to him, Mato elos lecha bebracha. If I give you a bracha, what good is it going to be for you? Im tikne nechasim shalohim. Anything you acquire will be his. Shari gvir samtu lecho, mashakana evikana rabbi. Mamasharashi. He says, he owns you. What am I going to do? Give it to you? If I give it to you, it belongs to him weiter. So this idea that Yaakov owns the Bechira, again, not because it's a davar shelo al olam, because you're being kona him, and now that being kona him, it belongs to you. We find a very similar thing in history by Yaakov of Esav between Mordechai and Haman. First of all, you see already in the kinyan, which we said before of the bechira between Yaakov and Esav, hints to Mordechai and to Haman. Take a look here at the Balaturim, where Esav says to Yaakov, "Haliteni na min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh." So he says, "Haliteni na min" is Rashi Tevas Haman. Loimar, kishem she Yaakov kana me Esav b'charas b'lechem v'adashem, kach kana Mordechai es Haman le'eved pas lechem. The Gemara says in Megillah that Mordechai owned Haman. Now the Gemara only mentions it Agav, but if you take a look at the Yaakov Shimoni here, the longer one on the left side, this is the longer version. This is the real story. So it says Kolzeni nushayveli that Haman is very upset about everything that Mordechai won't bend out to him. Kedrav Chizda, like Rav Chizda said, Rav Chizda, zeh baber puzbuli v'zeh baber puzbuti. He says that Yaakov, Mordechai came with his prizbol, and this one was coming with his prizbuti. It means like his complaints. Pam achas nasan hamelach mamon. One time Achashverosh she gave money v'shagam b'rashi gaisus, and he sent both Mordechai and Haman as being generals, v'chvesh es hamadina, to conquer certain territory. Natal Haman mamon shalai, so Haman took his money, which he was supposed to use appropriately to buy food for him and his platoon. V'achlo, and they ate it very quickly. V'lanishtayel lo mamon, he had nothing left. When he came to have to provide for his troops, there was nothing to give them. Mordechai still had a lot. He knew how to manage his money. Give me a loan. He says, I don't agree to do this. Only if you sell me yourself as an eved. So Haman accepted. And Mordechai lent him the money. The cost of the one, he wrote him, Hare Haman Adl Shal Mordechai. So Mordechai was Kona Haman as his Eved. Zamin Nafshe the Mordechai Betuma Dinama. He sold himself to Mordechai for bread. Hainu da Amrali Mordechai La Haman Avda the Kana Nichsi Avda the Ma Nichsi Dema. Mashakana Eved Kana Rabbi. If you go back to the Balaturim, Vayivez. The word Vayivez is a very uncommon word in the Torah. Where else do you find Vayivez? Vayivez, Esav es habachorah, Vayivez be'enav. It says by Haman and Mordechai that he despised him. Dehainu buza ben buza, ze Haman harasha shi'asa me'esav. That's what Chazal say. So you see this correlation. According, therefore, to the maral, that his chiddush, that there was no kinyan b'chorah here, there was a kinyan avdus here. When you set that down, what you see here, how everything is lining up now between Mordechai and Haman. This is exactly what happened. In fact, the Yaakov Shimoni says, on the right one, it says that Mordechai was tzoveach, that Mordechai went on the street and the Megillah says that he was crying out. What was he saying? This is what he said. Because the Megillah doesn't tell you what he said. He said as follows, Va'imer, Yitzchak Avi, my father Yitzchak, Ma'asisalai, right? What did you do that when Esav cried out to you, v'shamata kolo, and you heard his voice, u'beirachta isay? In the end, Yitzchak does give Esav a bracha. He says, "What are you doing?" V'hari anu mechurim lahariges cherv. He says, "Look what you've done to us. That because you gave that bracha to Esav, now we're all threatened. Here's Haman." So you see that Mordechai had tainas on Yitzchak for giving a bracha, and he said, "This is happening because of the bracha which Yitzchak gave Esav." In fact, the Moshe of Zakenim, I don't have it photocopied, but you see it here. One of the things that Yaakov said to Esav was, "Im eini mechaya ischa, if I don't give you food now, ani yoyresh esavinu levad via kol shali." We know that Esav was on the brink of death. He was starving. He would have collapsed. He would have fainted. And Yaakov saved his life. So you see again, according to the Maral, a correlation and a different approach as to how it is that Yaakov was able to buy the Bechaira, that it wasn't that it was a kinyan on the actual Bechaira, it was a kinyan on Esav himself. And if you have Esav, you have everything. Which is, according to the Moshe of Zakenim, it seems also similar to the Bechar Shor, that really Yaakov is saying to Esav, "I don't need to buy this Bechaira from you. Because if I let you die, then anyways I become the Bechar." So again, it's another avenue, according to the Moshe of Zakenim, that really the whole mechir was not necessary. So even if you find pikpukim in the mechir, how did it happen? Doesn't matter. It didn't need to happen. Because if Esav had he died, it wouldn't belong to Yaakov anyways. That's similar to what we said before, but the mahalach of the maral is a different mahalach. Now, all of this we know is taking place in Parshas Toldos. And this is the beginning of Parshas Toldos. The beginning of Parshas Toldos is the kinyan, what we call now mechiras chameis, which took place between Yaakov and Esav, that Yaakov is receiving the Bechaira from Esav. Now, what is this Bechaira? Right, we said before, this Bechaira was the schus to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. But it's much more than that. Because we know Chazal tell us that what were Yaakov and Esav fighting on in the womb? Nachal shnei olamos. Elam hazeh and olam haba. Now, when you think about that nachal shnei olamos, it means to say what? That they both wanted olam haba and that's what they were fighting about? They were both wanted olam hazeh, that's what they were fighting about? Like, what exactly was the machlekes? Wouldn't it seem obvious that Esav would take the Olam Hazeh and Yaakov would take the Olam Haba? So then what's the machlekes already? What are they arguing about? But the answer is that the Nachla Shnei Olamos means that these are not two separate worlds. This is one world. This is really one thing. It's one Zach. Nachla Shnei Olamos. Who's going to get the world? Take a look at Targum Yonatan here. It says, V'Yakov Nasan Le'Esav. When Yaakov was buying the Bechor from Esav, it says, Lechem V'Tavshel D'Tlaifchi, V'Ochel V'Shasi V'Kom V'Ozol, V'Shat Esav Yas B'Cheirusa. It says that Esav, he despised the Bechora, V'Cheilek Alma D'Asi, and his Chelek in the world to come. So you see that the Bechora and the whole Inyan of Elam Haba are Zebzeh. And that's really what it means to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Serving the Beis HaMikdash means it's the light of Elam Haba which is in this world. Now I ask you, Rabbi Isai, when did Yaakov receive the brachos from Yitzchak? What day of the year was that?
Pesach.
Oh, I didn't know it was Pesach. No, we said before that there was two things, remember. There's that Yaakov buying the Bechaira from Esav, and Yaakov receiving the brachos from Yitzchak. That's the end of the parasha. When he comes in dressed up as Esav,
he served the matzahs. Right?
He served the matzahs. Says he gave him lechem v'yayin. Says he brought him to
Gedi.
Gedi, which Rashi says refers to what?
Pesach.
Korban Pesach, Korban Chagiga, taking place on Pesach. So that means to say that going back in the beginning of the parsha, there was Mechiras Chametz, which took place on Pesach, Erev Pesach, and also this also taking place on Erev Pesach. Take a look at Yaakov Ruveni here, on the right side. B'shah shahalach Yaakov v'ina l'kabos ha-brachos. Sivsa Rivka v'kachli misham shnei gedi izim v'asla shei tavshilin v'erev Pesach haya. Oh, it's Erev Pesach. Amr v'Yehuda remez ramza shasidim banam shal Yaakov l'akiv beis seirim echel Hashem echel azazo. Oh, we have a little Yom Kippur here too. Okay, very nice. But you see that it's Erev Pesach. You see that it's Erev Pesach. Now why is that important for us? Okay, that's important for us because we said before as follows. We said that when you make a Mechiras Chametz, you get the Bechaira. You got the Bechaira. Now Yaakov is a Bechaira. Now Yaakov is going in to get these brachas from Yitzchak. What does Yitzchak say? Yitzchak says, I'm giving this to Esav. Why am I giving this to Esav? Because Esav is the Bechor. So who has the rights to the brachos? The Bechor. And that's when Yaakov comes in, and Esav, and Yitzchak says, who is this? What does Yaakov say? Anoichi Esav Bechairecha. Now Chazal say, wait a second, is it a lie? Is Yaakov not the Bechor? Right? And he's not even Esav. He says, no, Yaakov is the Bechor. Yaakov is certainly the Bechor. And therefore he deserves these brachos. Right? But anyways, Esav feels that he's entitled to these brachos. He comes in and he says, what's going on over here? Even though he sold it to Yaakov. He sold the Bechorah. So why did he didn't get the brachos? But the Teretz is that Esav thinks that the Bechorah and the brachos are two separate things. He thinks that, I don't mind selling the Bechorah to Yaakov. I don't want to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. What he doesn't realize is that there's no two worlds here. It's not like you can get Olam HaZeh, Olam HaBa, give that to him, and then I'll take Olam HaZeh. There's no such thing. This is one Zach. There's what's called Nachal Shnei Olamos. And if you sold the Bechorah, which is the rights to Olam HaBa, then you also lost the brachos of this world too. Because Hashem gives the Olam HaZeh to the one who has Olam HaBa. That's really the way it is in its roots. Because it says, like it says in the pasuk, "Betzel ha'chachma, betzel ha'kesef." That really, that Rav Bunim says this. Rav Bunim writes that right now, nowadays, you see it that there's talmid chachamim, and there are those who refine as talmid chachamim. So just recognize it's only a temporary thing. In times of Mashiach, all the wealth will be in the hands of talmid chachamim. They're going to be giving all the money to anybody who needs the money. That's really where it belongs. It's only because there's some type of a gullus and a churban and a period in this world, that's why it is, that it looks like that there's an Olam HaZedekah thing and there's an Olam HaVedekah thing. But really, that's not the case. He says, really, in its roots, everything belongs to the Talmid HaChamim. Like Rabbeinu Yehuda HaNasi, right? Rabbeinu Yehuda HaNasi, that he was the president of Zechet the Shnei Shulchan, as Chazal said, that he had all the wealth, and he was the biggest Talmid HaChamim. And what do we know about him? That he was a Nitzitz of Yaakov Avinu. Right? And we know that what was his name? The Roman king. Antigonus. Thank you. I gave a whole shir about that a few months ago. Antigonus, that he was a nitzitz of Esav. Right? This dynamic is Yaakov and Esav. Really, that's why we said before. Yaakov is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So that's why I'm saying Nasi is Rashi Tevos Ani. Neshama,
Nitzas
Shel Yaakov Avinu. That's Nasi. Yehuda Hanasi. But he's Yaakov Avinu. And that's why he has Shnei Shulchanos. And that's really the message here. Yaakov comes in and he says, I have the Bechaira, which is Olam Haba. I get also the Brachas of Olam Hazeh. Unlike Esav, who didn't see that these two things could be one. I thought that they would be separate. What's interesting, therefore, is that we begin with Mechiras Chametz on Erev Pesach. And then we go into Pesach and we sit by the Seder. And at the end of the day, we come to Tzafon. And Tzafon is really the Brachos. That's really everything. Everything is Tzafon. Tzafon is the Brachos. Everything that Hashem wants to give the Jewish people, He gives by Tzafon. That's really what happens between Yaakov and Esav. There's the Mechiras Chametz on Erev Pesach. And later on it comes to Pesach. And Yaakov is now feeding Esav from the Korban Pesach. And then he gets all those brachos. How did that happen? The answer is that because you made a Mechiras Chametz earlier on Erev Pesach and you sold the Chametz in order to have the Bechaira, that's why you're Zeicha later by the Seder to be Zeicha to the Tzafon, which is the brachos of Olam Hazeh. So you see the Mechiras Chametz is a big investment. Because when you make the Mechiras Chametz, you're making it to Esav, to that guy, he's giving you what he thinks is his chedek and olam hazeh, at least, even if it doesn't belong to him, like we said before, at least he won't say anything. At least he'll agree that it belongs to you. Whether you have to be kohenet or not, it doesn't make a difference. But later you have the rights to the tzafon, uncontested at least, you'll be zeichet to all the brachos because you're zeichet to the bechayr. That's the correlation between the mechiras chametz, which takes place in the beginning, on Erev Pesach, to the tzafon, which takes place at the end. And in fact, there's a brilliant zach. It says that Yaakov, he gave this Korban Pesach to Yitzchak. And then Esav comes in, and he wants to give Yitzchak to eat, and he says, I can't eat anything, sorry. Achalti mikol. I already ate everything. You already ate everything? Take another bite. What's the big deal? So the Mefarshim says as follows. He says, the reason why Yitzchak doesn't eat from Esav's food, if in fact it's kosher, let's say that it is, the reason why he doesn't eat, because he ate the Afikomen already. He ate the Korban Pesach, and you can't eat after. That's why he says, Achalti mikol. I ate everything I can eat. It's not to say that I'm already full. It says, I can't eat anymore. If I eat the Korban Pesach, if I eat the Afikomen, there's nothing more to eat. So what does he say? Yitzchak says, Bo achicha b'mirma. Your brother came with a trickery. Trickery. So Targum says, B'chuchmasa. He came with a chachma. What chachma was there? It says, Yaakov was brilliant. He says he came and he gave the Afikomen, and by doing that, he secured the fact that Esav can have nothing, because he can't give Yitzchak to eat. Yitzchak won't eat anything. He fed him the Afikomen. It's Pesach time. And in fact, what's the gematria of the word Bimirma?
287.
It's gematria Afikomen. So that's not my chiddush, that's what the Mefarshim say. Ba'achicha Bimirma, it's gematria Afikomen. But since he came with Afikomen, can't eat anything anymore. But this I will add. It says that it says, B'mirma is b'chuchmasa. It means that's what Targum says. He came with the chachma. Now, what is the question of the Ben Chacham at the Seder? What's going on? What do you answer him? Ein mafsirin acher Pesach afikomen. That's why it's called the Ben Chacham. That since Yaakov came b'chuchmasa, and Yaakov used the chachma in order to secure the b'chayra on this night, that after you eat the afikomen, there's nothing else to give. It's yours. There's nothing that we can say anymore. So too, the Ben Chacham, which is B'chinas Yaakov, what do we answer him? Ein ma'aftina Pesach afikomen. That's how you were zeichet to everything on this slide because of the chachma of the regional chacham, which is Yaakov Avinu. So with this, we can come back to the Tosefta. The Tosefta we started with was Yisrael v'gai who are buying b'sfina. Right? They're buying b'sfina. And the whole mechir was taking place on a sfina. It's a very interesting thing. In fact, some of the Mefarshim learn that you see from here that really you shouldn't make a mechiras chametz. Again, before the Chasam Sefer, the Mefarshim debated, similar to like the Ritzvah. The Ritzvah learned from here that it's not something you could do every single year. You can make a mechiras chametz only once in a while. Like if you find yourself on a boat and you have nothing to do, you can make a mechira. That's what it sounds like from here. And now we do it all the time. In which case, why does it say, why do you even have such a circumstance? Yisrael v'goy b'ayim b'sfina. Take a look at Rikuta Maran. He says, v'zeh b'china sfina. He says, lashon tzafon v'tamun. He says something which is hidden. Sfina means something which is hidden. What he calls makifin, sfina v'tum, ein kol, hein b'chinas ma rav tuvcha asher tzafanta li'echa. This is the pasuk which everybody talks about by the Afikomen. What's it called? Tzafon. The tzafon. Something which is hidden, something which is concealed. That's why it's called a sfina. It's talking about something very hidden, very discreet. So Yisrael v'goy b'ayim b'sfina, that's when Mechiras Chametz takes place. Why dafka in a sfina? Because this is the lesson. You're making a Mechiras Chametz to the goy in exchange of what? and exchange of the Sfina, of the hidden thing, of the hidden thing, which is that Safon, which is that Afikomu, which are those brachas which come down. Because since you made the Mechiras Chametz early on Erev Pesach to the guy, right, he's giving you that Sfina, he's giving you that Safon, whether he has to, whether or not, whether Yaakov is legit the Bechor, whether he needs to buy the Bechor, doesn't matter. Teretz says, you're the Bechor. And now you can be Zechet to that Safon, to that hidden gem, which Hashem wants to give you, the brachas of Yitzhak on Pesach, because of the fact that you made a Mechiras Chametz earlier. That all the brachas should be neskayim, shvechas, that see the revelation of that mechira with the mechira v'rura, the fact that the bechor becomes to us, should be as goyel tzedek, may it be no amen.